Tonight we're going to start on a three-week series of on evangelism. And this week I'm going to lead us through a look at our personal salvation testimony, what one is, some examples of testimonies, and then how to develop and share your testimony with others. Next week, I think it's Jonathan, is that correct? Unless Jonathan has a baby. Well, he's not going to have a baby. But unless Christy has a baby, then Jonathan and Jackie will swap. But Jonathan is going to cover a discussion of child evangelism. And then Jackie will be talking about evangelizing your family and other adults. Okay? So that's what the 3 weeks will be. And then we're done. As we said last week, then we're done for this year. And then in the summer, we'll have some activities, fun activities, planned for you if you can make it, okay? So we'll try to have at least a couple of those and go from there. How many of you have ever had the opportunity to publicly, whether it was with someone individually or in a larger setting, how many of you have had the opportunity to share your testimony? Okay? Now, this church is unique because we're well-trained in a lot of areas and very well-taught, and so those are pretty high numbers. Most people that you run into who are Christians have not ever done that. And so when you think about the time that you did that, was it difficult? Were you a little nervous about it? Did you stumble through it to begin with? Kind of repeat yourself over and over and over before you get out of the gate? Did it bring about a desired response that you were looking for in the person? That it created an interest in them in things of the Lord, therefore they wanted to know more about it? Well, tonight we're going to cover several of those questions, but first I want to start with the basics here. As we talk about a testimony, because many people may never have been through a study on that subject and may not really know what a testimony is. So we're going to start with the one on your outline there is defining a testimony. Defining a testimony. When we do that, we'd have to begin with a definition of the word itself. And the word itself is the noun form of the verb testify. Okay? And testify is to make a statement based on personal knowledge or belief, to bear witness to serve as evidence of or proof of, to express a personal conviction for something, to make a solemn declaration. And in many cases, when you think of the word testify, you think about testifying under oath for something. You're either bearing witness, you're attesting to something, or you're serving as evidence, you're proof of something, or you're giving evidence of, you're showing, testifying to it. The noun verb is testimony, and that is a first-hand authentication of a fact, okay, to serve as evidence of, so to speak. Such as an outward sign or a solemn declaration, an open acknowledgement, or a public type profession of some experience, okay? And then the adjective of that is a testimonial, which just refers back to constituting a testimony or expressive of appreciation or something. And that definition of a testifier, a person that testifies, in the Bible, the word is also translated witness, okay? An individual person given a personal testimony is a witness to something. Oh, bet you that's my phone. So A on your outline is what it is. A personal testimony can be in many arenas. When we think of a testimony, we think of a spiritual testimony. But in the advertising arena in the world, pro athletes, celebrities, others, they tell how a particular product or a service has benefited them, and they're encouraging you to try that. They're giving a testimony of how that product or service worked for them. Every time you turn on the radio, the television, the internet, you just get bombarded with testimonies, don't you? It can be a new car, new shampoo, new sports drink. Just the material part of the world is driven by testimony given by one person or another to attest to something. Now, the question for you, and I'm sure you've done this, is have you ever recommended a doctor, a dentist, a hairstylist, a restaurant, carpet cleaning service, a brand of makeup, anything? When you did that, you gave testimony to it. So think about it in that respect. You might not realize it, but you give your testimony many times a week. It may not be to things of the Lord, but you're giving a testimony to something anytime you recommend something to someone. To give a testimony in the area of evangelism is to give the facts surrounding your personal experience of how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And the verb of that is to testify or to give witness to that personal experience. This is a public profession of faith in Christ as the one who will save you from eternal separation from God. In the scriptures it talks about that Christ says, those who are ashamed of me before the people, I'm ashamed of them. I will be ashamed of them before the Father. So we should not have any hesitation to be ashamed to let people know who our Lord is. And for the rest of the evening, we're going to direct our focus to our salvation testimony and learn more about that. So the next question to ask is why it's important. That's B on your outline, why it's important. It's important because if you are truly a genuine Christian, then it's commanded of you by Jesus Himself. In Matthew 28, I'm sure you're familiar with this, 28:19, reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We are to go and make disciples. And giving your testimony is one of the tools of doing that. And I'm not going to cover the actual gospel presentation. Jackie and Jonathan are going to cover those in detail during their time. But your testimony is one tool that you can use to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3, let me get to it here, 15, says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." You are giving a testimony to the fact that your life has been changed and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord. We are always to be ready to do that. When people come up to you that may be as far from Christ as possible and ask you, "Why are you so different? Why do you have such joy in your life?" That's the opportunity the Lord has presented to you for you to share with them what the Lord has done in your heart, as well as sharing about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, why it's important, your testimony is the truth. And for people that will hear your testimony, they will hear what truthfully happened in your life. Folks, in our world, there's too much false testimony out there spread about our Lord. And it's sad, and obviously it's very disheartening to our Lord to know that people are out there spreading false testimony. The very worst damage done to the cause of Christianity is to hear a person talk about their testimony or their belief in the Lord and then turn right around and live out a life that's as opposite from that as can be. It's like a 500-pound glutton standing up here, stuffing his face, and all the while testifying to you about the diet that they're on. It doesn't match up. It doesn't fit. Okay? Satan would like nothing better than for us to damage our testimony to Christ by living out a godless life. So what I'm telling you is it's important, and it has to match. It has to be the truth of your life, because people will see right through it. Thirdly, how it's given. A testimony is not a tool to be used with some type of reckless abandon. It's a personal testimony that is to be given with what Peter spoke of at the end of 1 Peter 3:15. It's to be given with gentleness and reverence. To brag about your salvation experience and your life before and after is, as John Stott said, he said this, "So much so-called testimony today is really autobiography, and even sometimes thinly disguised self-advertisement, so that we need to regain a proper biblical perspective. All true testimony is testimony to Jesus Christ as He stands on trial before the world." Folks, you and I have nothing to brag about in our testimony. We didn't even possess the faith that was needed to accept Christ in our life. The Lord had to give us that as well. Our testimony is really to be an overflowing expression of the heart of gratitude that we have for all that God's done for us. He changed our hearts from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh to a heart that loves Him, and we had nothing to do with it. So when you give that testimony, you need to give it humbly and gentleness and reverence, and you can't run the gospel down somebody's throat and expect them to accept it. They need to see a life changed in you as you talk about how your life was changed. So before we talk about how we develop our own personal testimony, and that's one of the things we're going to do as our exercise tonight, let's look at just a few testimony examples. A on your outline, number two is testimony examples, and A on your outline there is Old Testament. A few examples of testimonies in the Old Testament. The very first time it's used is in Exodus. It says, "You shall put into the ark," talking about the Ark of the Covenant, "you shall put into the ark," this is Exodus 25:16. "You shall put into the ark the testimony which I gave you." And what was that? It's talking to Moses. That's the Ten Commandments. Okay, that is the truth. As God gave it to him, that was a testimony to the truth. God speaks of the testimony that He gave to Moses in Numbers 1:53. "But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony." Once again, talking about the truth that is about God. Moses speaks of God's testimony that God gave to the Hebrews in Deuteronomy 6:20. It says, "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son," and he goes on and gives a testimony to what took place. "You shall say to your sons, 'We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers." It was a testimony to what had happened to them, what their life was like before, and then when the Lord brought them out. It was speaking of truthful events that took place in their lives. Psalm 119:167, "My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." So those are some examples of where testimony is used in the Old Testament. Let's go to B, which is the New Testament. A few examples of testimonies in the New Testament is John the Baptist gave his testimony to Christ. John 1:6-7, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light. He came as a witness to give testimony to the light so that all might believe through Him. The Apostle John states that his testimony to Christ is true. John 19:35 reads this way, "And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling you the truth, so that you also may believe." So the Apostle John is saying, what I have told you is the truth, because I have seen it and I'm testifying to you that it is the truth. Christ Himself gave testimony about Himself. Turn with me, if you got your Bibles, to John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 12. John 8:12. "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law," he's talking to the Jews about their law, "even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true." And Christ is saying, me and the Father are two, testifying to the same thing. The testimony is true. And so, since you and I are not famous biblical characters, we're just mere sinners, which apart from Christ, all the others who gave their testimony were sinners too, in the Bible, except for Christ, then what would our testimony look like? Remember that our testimony is ultimately and always, folks, about giving glory to God and not about us. The focus should not be on us. We should be like a mirror where it reflects off of us back to Christ. We are wretched sinners saved only by the grace of God. And in a nation that we live in a nation that prides itself on allowing everyone to have their rights about everything, let me be straightforward with you on this. In the kingdom of God, you and I have, apart from His grace, no rights whatsoever. And that's such a foreign concept to people that don't know the Lord, because they expect to have their rights, because they grew up in a nation and a society that just promotes and advertises and talks about and has judgment and court systems that talk about your rights. Folks, we have no rights in the kingdom of God except for the grace of God given to us. We're beggars in God's economy. And through His loving character, and for reasons unknown only to Him, He has chosen us to be a royal priesthood. I don't know about you, but when I think back upon my life, I think I have no concept whatsoever why God would choose me and draw me to Himself. But I am so grateful that He did. And so, when we think about testimonies, there's Old Testament, there's New Testament, and then for you and I, there's a personal testimony. And I want to give you just a real quick couple minute testimony of my own personal self. What I was like before I knew the Lord, I was a very selfish and arrogant and prideful individual. It was very self-centered. I was extremely confident. I was excessively over-competitive. I was very hard-hearted. I mean, if you were okay, as long as I was okay, then we were okay. But if you had what I wanted, then you were not okay. until I had it, and then I was okay and I didn't care about what you had. I was vengeful. I was foul-mouthed. I was outwardly happy. I've always been outwardly kind of a life-of-the-party kind of person. But inwardly, there was dark, dark spaces in my heart as I searched for real happiness. I was extremely materialistic, and I was experiential in things. I was looking for the best things in life. But my conversion took place, and this is what the statistics will tell you. Most of people who come to know the Christ, come to know the Lord, come to know Him through the personal testimony and the sharing of the gospel by an individual. You know, by a friend, by a family member. It's not in these huge revivals. Yeah, they have tons and tons of people come forward, but they turn out to be false conversions. They're just an emotional high that result in no real change. My conversion took place because a good friend of mine that I played basketball with in high school, I got invited to his house one time to eat supper, and his family said a prayer before they ate. That was foreign to me. Never done that. I mean, if you were the last one to get your fork in the chicken, you didn't get any chicken. So there wasn't no praying going on. It was get the chicken. But through his friendship, I ended up starting to go to his Baptist church. And they had a revival that night. And I went with some friends because they were friends. And on the third night of this revival, I don't know what happened, but something changed in my heart. And I listened. And I wanted to know. And I wanted to fill the inwardness with happiness just like I had that facade on the outside. And so I went down front. I got converted at a Baptist church at a revival. I'm so glad that that guy invited me and began to share his life with me. And he lived out his testimony before me. And after my conversion, I was baptized the very next Sunday. I mean, that guy left me under there, so I thought I was going to drown. I guess he needed to wash a lot of sin off of me. But after my conversion, it was a peaceful feeling, a relieved feeling. I had a love for things that I didn't ever have before. I read the Bible some, but I didn't understand a lot of it. I was very interested in spiritual things, but it was so confusing and foreign to me. And there wasn't a discipleship program, so to speak, people that came along beside you. When I went home that night and told my mom and dad that I'd gotten saved, that was a foreign concept to them. They had to ask me, "What are you talking about?" So I didn't have that strength. It was only when I was with just a couple of friends that I got that nurturing that I needed. But I began to attend Sunday school. My attitude changed. I became more service-oriented versus self-centered. Still somewhat materialistic, still a babe in Christ, still prideful at times, still self-centered at times. But it was changing. And it was a rapid change in the attitude that I had toward it. I was searching for answers. But I continued to grow and continued to grow. And for the rest of my life, until I see the Lord face to face, I'll continue to grow. Now, since I've gotten into a Bible-believing church, which took place when we moved to Missouri in 1993, the rapid rate of my growth personally has just been unbelievable. And the desire and the confidence to change and stay away from the sins in my life that so easily entangle has been so much greater. So that's kind of the longer version of a short version of my testimony. So it gives you an idea what a personal testimony might look like. You're talking about before, you're talking about a conversion, you're talking about after. So three on your outline is constructing your testimony. A is before. Put in your testimony the things that characterized you, both spiritually, emotionally, motivationally? What drove your decisions? What fueled your interest? What made you happy or unhappy? How did you treat others, like your parents, or your family, or your friends, or authority figures? What were your chief goals in life? Put those things in your mind when you think about the way you were before you came to know the Lord. B on your outline is during. Here you need to put in the factual story of your conversion. Keep it simple and concise. You know, who was involved? What were the surroundings? What was the instrument used to finally break you? Was it a sermon? Was it a Bible study? Was it your parents sharing with you? Was it a significant emotional event in your life? Maybe the death of a member of your family? An individual sharing their testimony with you? Sharing the gospel with you? What was it surrounding the details? And then C is after. And here's where you speak of how you responded to your conversion. What characterized you since that time? What's different about you? What do you desire in life now versus what you did before? How's your attitude in areas as compared to the way they were before? How are you different to other people? Folks, I can tell you right now, and I've had this happen to me in business when people knew I was a Christian and they'd say they got saved. It's pretty evident whether you did or you didn't. Because if you say you got saved and the Lord is in your heart and you live the same life before, after than you did before, you didn't get saved. It just might have been an emotional experience for you. But it didn't change. It didn't take effect. Now here's one thing that I do recognize. Debbie and I have had the opportunity over the last several years, as we have membership classes, to sit down and hear people's testimonies. And one of the things I do recognize about people's salvation testimony, and that is every one of them is unique. It's like your fingerprint, except that it's God's fingerprint on you. They're all different. They have commonalities, yes. But no two people have that same experience when it comes to spiritually meeting your Lord and your Savior for the first time. Some were saved early in life. Some were saved in their teens or early 20s, and some were saved later in life. But everybody's experience is unique to you. What an act of love and grace by a merciful God that He would choose to bring each of us to Himself in a different way. Okay, we're going to take time now and a little bit. Here's your chance to build your testimony. Right after I finish here, which I'm going to do in just a couple minutes, I want each of you to get into your devotional prayer groups that we've broken up into. And then I'd like for you to bullet point your testimony. Just write out some things as it relates there on the back of that sheet. And then for those of you that would like, I'm sure the group would be A-OK hearing you. Give that. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, then I encourage you to still do it. Do the exercise. And then maybe share that with your wife or your husband when you do feel comfortable doing that. I know it's not an easy thing to do. Many people are very intimidated about sharing personal spiritual things. And so, but I can't help but encourage you to do that. You just never know when the Lord is going to use you to change somebody's life. So let's talk about the application to our lives before we break up. And there's three things that God desires you to do with your testimony. Three things God desires you to do with your testimony. First is to love it. No true Christian, and hear me out on this one, no true Christian is an unhappy Christian. You can't be. If the Lord is in your heart, then the joy of your salvation is always there. Now, you're going to have sad times. Don't get me wrong.
Christ talks about, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. You're going to have sad times. But no true Christian is an unhappy Christian. They might have disappointing moments, but they'll never lose the joy of knowing where they eventually are going to end up. They love their standing with God, and above all, they love other people in their lives, but they cherish that relationship with the Lord the most. I know that in the worst of times in my life, that joy has still been there. Secondly, live it. Live it. One day, there was a woman was crossing a street at a London station, and an old man stopped her. And he said to her, "Excuse me, ma'am, but I want to thank you." And she looked up and exclaimed, "Thank me?" He said, "Yes, ma'am. I used to be a ticket collector. And whenever you went by, you always gave me a cheerful smile and a good morning. And I knew that smile must have come from inside somewhere. Then one morning, I saw a little Bible in your hand. So I bought one too, and I found Jesus." You know, folks, that's the most important part of your testimony, is to live it out. As I stated before, hypocritical Christians do great, great damage to the cause of Christ. Because they look at those people and they say, if they're a Christian, I don't want to be one. Because I can see right through that transparent facade. I can tell you this, it disappoints our Lord any time our testimony does damage to the one that we were saved to. Your life is evidence of your citizenship in heaven. Please, I beg of you, and I say the same thing to me every night, don't dishonor your God with your actions. If you're unable to share your testimony, then live it out. The least we can do is live it out before people. Thirdly, first we're to love it. Second, we're to live it. Thirdly, we're to let go of it. The gospel and your love for it is not something that God desires for you to keep in a closet. Your life should shine before all men, and so should your story of how He changed your life. Ask God for the strength and the courage to be ever ready to share how He saved you. Ask Him to give you the opportunity to do that. Share your testimony whenever God gives you that opportunity. I pray that you will. Let's pray. And then we'll get into our groups. Father, thank You for this time. I thank You so much for the change You made personally in my life and for so many in this room. Father, we don't always understand the plans and purposes that You have. But Lord, we just have to trust that You're going to lead us and guide us and direct us. And we rely completely upon Your mercy and Your grace. Every morning, Your mercies are new. And Father, we need it. I thank You for the opportunity to share this tonight. I pray that it will be meaningful to all that hear it, and that it will be an encouragement and an exhortation to those to, if they have never done it before, think through their testimony. And when the opportunity presents them as given by You, Lord, that we would have the courage to share it. I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.